Now, I mentioned this morning I wanted to talk to you about the Antichrist spirit. And, you know, it's we may think about and just put that sometimes in a person and think, well, we know there's going to be one. That, and Brother Bram said he's called the Antichrist, but later on he'd be called something else. And do you ever have any idea what he's going to be called? He's going to be called, he's going to be back, that Lucifer incarnate in flesh. And he's going to declare himself to be God. And the whole world is going to bow down and worship him at that time. But I want the boys to put up three verses of scripture tonight that I did not give you this morning. So can we get Ephesians 6 and 12 quickly, Mark, and put it up there? And if somebody will jot this down for him back there, he can already load the next one. It's going to be 1 Corinthians 1:29, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 2:9 to sort of introduce this tonight. Won't you stand with me, and I'm going to read this from the Bible tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Has he got it up there? Not yet, huh? Oh, well, they're faster than I am. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, we could understand that. We'd realize then when somebody does something against us, that's not our brother, that's not our sister, that's an evil spirit. We war not, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Could we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29? I thought these brothers are going to preach my sermon here tonight, part of it anyway. 1 Corinthians 1:29. No flesh should glory in his presence. Not by works, it's by faith. And then we'll go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. Now let's begin with verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You understand why you're the person you are. You are what you are by the grace of God. And it's the spirit that God looks at, not your flesh. You may be seated. God bless you. The thing that's going to make the millennium possible is that Satan is going to be bound, and he's not going to be bound with chains or ropes. He's going to be bound because there's not going to be anybody that he can work through. I don't even get a single amen out of that. You see, it's a millennium now if you would stop Satan using you. If you would block out everything except the leadership of God. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And if we would be led by the Holy Ghost, 100% of everything we do, folks, these other things wouldn't matter. The sickness, the pain, the heartaches, the disappointments, they'd all disappear if we would just fully surrender to the leadership of the Holy Ghost. But it is, and you know, this is one of the basic teachings of Buddhism, that he came to the conclusion in his meditations that the thing that creates our problem is our own desires and our ambitions. And you know, that's what makes us unhappy. It's not that somebody else mistreats us. It's because we let ourselves be disappointed because we don't get our way. We want our way. It's all about us. Now you say, Brother Green's preaching Buddhism. No, that's what Jesus said. I mean, if it's truth, it's truth. I don't care who preaches it. I mean, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Brother Branham said, if you're living your life for others, you're looking heaven in the face. If we could do away with our own personal ambition, desire, and not let our flesh and blood, but it's the Spirit that comes in and takes control of us and controls our thoughts, our personalities, our attitudes, our wants, our ambitions, our desires. And we want this, we want this, we want this. Well, we want this to happen. We want this person to do this. We want this one to do that. And the first thing you know, you're so disappointed, you're unhappy. When if we just realize that what spirit it is that's causing us to be that way. Why is one person critical of another person? If you believed in predestination and the sovereignty of Almighty God, you'd see that that person is under the control of God just like you want to be. And we would never be jealous of somebody else. We'd never be envious of anybody else. We'd never want to tell an untruth about anybody else. And there'd be no reason for us to hate or despise somebody else, to murder, kill them, or do anything but love them. If we understood that they're under the control of God just like you and I want to be. And we desire that. Now, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. But we wrestle against the powers and the principalities and the things that are in this world. Now, every nation has its own spirit, its own culture. When I went to India with Brother Red Searle, I made this observation that he and I went through the country and we rode the train a couple of days. I'd look out the window and I'd see these Indian people living out here on the river bank or the creek bank, and they'd have a little fire going there, and they were cooking their rice and their food on a pot and everything else, and just like we Americans do when we go on a camping trip. And we work so hard to have the spare time and the leisure time to leave our luxurious homes and go out into the wilderness and sleep on the ground and fix a campfire and fix a little meal. And we just think it's so good, don't we, Harry? So good. I mean, even the beans don't taste right. No salt, pepper, and nothing else. Just if it's boiled rice or whatever it is, it's good because what? We did it out there. Now, what they do is that's the way they're born. They live that way. That's life to them. But you and I, we would never want to live that way, but yet there's something in us that when we can get away from the luxury of our homes. And when I got into Bombay, I saw these apartment buildings they'd built. They were 20 stories high, just one apartment after another, and they didn't have anything in them. And they didn't have any elevators, and they would let people move in there, and they would, they didn't even want to live in them. They'd rather go live down there somewhere in a pasteboard shack. I saw them rolling off a drain pipe, a 4 and 5 foot, 6 foot drain pipe, and it rolled off the truck, and as soon as it hit the ground, there'd be one family moving this in, one family in that in. They'd rather live like that than they had in that apartment. Right out here on this reservation, I was involved with Brother Sheldon Holtz when he built some houses. And he did the plumbing contract, and I was in and out of there and everything else and got those houses built. And they gave them to the Indians, and they moved in. And I went out there a year later, and they were keeping animals in the house and sleeping in the yard. Why? Because they'd rather live outside than they had in the house. And that was a perfect corral to keep their burro and their pigs and their chickens. And that's the way they had. The bathroom was where the pig was slumped. I mean, they're just it's our desires. It's man's desire. And, you know, I was telling Jackie that works for Sammy and Mac out there, lives in their apartment yesterday, or day before yesterday. I said, you know, Jackie, when we used to, because she was sweeping Sammy's yard. And I said, that's something Mother used to make us kids do. Every Saturday we swept our yard, whether it needed or not. And I tell Mother, the leaves are going to come back next week. She said, yeah, but these you sweep up won't be there next week. And we swept it with a brush broom. We didn't even have a rake. Man, when we got a rake, we thought we had some. But one of the first things we always did when we moved into a new house, and remember, I lived in 36 houses before I started school at age 5, and I moved 48 times in 12 years during high school, from the 1st to the 12th grade. And in Louisiana, the houses are built this high, about this high off of the ground. And one of the first things we did, the first time we could get a chance, Mother made us rake under that house. I don't care if somebody else's pigs or chickens or whatever lived in there. Mother makes Sammy and I get down there, and we pulled a rake, and we raked under the house. And she said, because you kids are going to play under the house, and I don't want you playing in the filth. And we cleaned up underneath the house. We didn't have shoes except to wear to church or to some going to town or somewhere. We had two changes of clothes, one we played in and one we wore to school or church. And you know what? Nobody told us we were poor. And we were happy as we could be. But now then, we've got to have this, that, and the other, or we're unhappy. You know why? Because there's a spirit got a hold of us. And if you want to see that spirit, just go down here to Auto Mall down here and just start getting in and out of them new cars. Man, there's something about the aroma of them. There's something about turning a key. There's something about just seeing them all polished and shining and everything else, and the wheels all clean and everything else, that just all of a sudden you just got to have that new car. Now, you take advantage of that, don't you, Brother Milton? You sell Cadillacs, don't you? Huh? You know that works, see? But you see, what happened to us getting by with what we've got? It's because we're wrestling with these powers and principalities. Now, in our spiritual battle, it's even stronger. And we might not even realize there's not anybody going to come up to you people and deceive you by saying, you need to believe the blessed Holy Trinity. You're not going to take that. You're not going to buy that. You know better than that. There's nobody come along and say, well, you know, you got to drink and smoke and you got to lie and cheat and steal and be substance abused and everything else in order for the grace of God to be in your life. You're not going to buy that. But the only antichrist spirit we have to worry about is the things that comes in that takes us away from the things that God wants us to do. And that's just as antichrist, anti-word, as if somebody just got up and says, there is no God. Because that's what we war against. We don't war against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spirits. And usually they're in high places too. Now, let's read from the scripture this and see where this started and see where it could wind up. Let's go to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. And these they have on the screen for you, so I'll read them to you off the screen. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are going out into the world. Now, look. This is 2,000 years ago this was written. It's not just now that false prophets were, but John wrote this to the believers back there then. So this spirit of false teaching, false doctrine, false things about your salvation, it was started back there then. It's not brand new. It's been here all the time. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, you see, back there was this person. They had an idol. They had this gold or silver or wood or whatever they had. Another one said, we believe in one God. He's a spirit. But there was a test that John gave. If it's a true spirit of God, it will confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. If it denies that, it's a wrong spirit. But if it is one that's come in the flesh, and we'll read on. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Wherefore you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. It's been here since then. We don't find any place where it's disappeared, where it's been taken away. It's still present in the world. You understand that? Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Now prove all things, hold fast that which is good. We are instructed by the scriptures that when somebody comes along and says something, we should prove it. How do you prove it? Brother Bram said, check it out with the Word. If it's contrary to the Word, if somebody brings you a teaching and it's got a spirit with it, and it is spirits, see, it's like this. All sickness is a spirit. See, the reason I believe that someday I'll walk down that aisle and I'll touch Sister Chrissy on the head of the hand like I do every time she comes. One of these days, the faith of God, she's able to walk. God's able to create her hands, arms, legs, whatever she needs, and make her whole. She believes that. I believe that. And I don't even look back at her, because one of these days, I'm going to go in there and she's going to come up here and you folks are going to be shouting. I'm going to come back at her and see what she's shouting about. Amen. Now you say, Brother Green, you're a believer. Yes, I've seen it happen in Brazil. I prayed for that brother and I had the compassion on him, and I didn't even know it, but I turned. He hadn't been out of the wheelchair for 6 years. Hadn't walked, and followed me out. The congregation saw, but I didn't see it. But see, that's the same God we serve. Now, if Brother Branham was standing up here telling you people that, you'd be shouting by now. Amen. You see, but what's the difference? He's the same God. And you know what? It's like the man that was blind. And Jesus healed him and he got his sight. Which man sinned? Or who sinned? Did he or his parents? And God, Jesus said, neither one, but that God might be glorified. I'm glad to have somebody like Chrissy here. So that we'll have a thermometer or a barometer or something. That, hey, when that happens, we'll know it's here. She's not going to be raptured like that. Now, you people just all start watching when I walk down that aisle. You start believing. You go by there, you do the same thing. She wears those dresses long now. She's only 27 inches tall, but she wears a dress for a 6 foot woman. You know why? She told me someday she's going to have legs. What else can she do to manifest her faith? For you to doubt would be antichrist. If her faith is that way. You understand that? You look and say, not possible. Excuse me. All things are possible with God. But it says, prove all things. Somebody come along and say something to you and it's contrary to the word. Then, you know, leave that alone. But hold fast to that which is good. My God can do anything. With God, all things are possible. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Well, you just can't stand people which are evil. And that thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Now see, here in the book of Revelation, in this church age, which is the Ephesian church age, God even told John, said, you tell them, look, I've seen you do this. You try these people, they come along, they claim to be apostles. But they're not. They're false. They're liars. Now, what makes you and I think that we're going to be free from that too? There's going to be people in our midst, in our age, in our generation, they're going to come along and they're going to say, look, I'm a man of God. Look, I'm an apostle. And we're going to find out if we prove them, they're liars. I think that's the reason I can make the statement that false doctrine is more dangerous and more is hated more by God than immorality. Brother Roger Collins confirmed a story I've told you people here for years, that there was a pastor in the tabernacle and he had an affair and he was immoral. Brother Branham came home and found the people passing out a petition to get him out of the church, and Brother Branham stopped it. Said, you people don't touch God's anointed. And he wouldn't let them put him out. But a few months later, that man got up in a pulpit and preached something that was not right. They told Brother Branham about it. Brother Branham went to church that night and he said, well, I understand Brother so-and-so preached so-and-so this morning. Is that right, brother? And the brother said, yes. Brother Branham said, you're no longer the pastor here. False doctrine was more dangerous than immorality in a man having an affair. But I know people today that won't have anything to do with a divorced, remarried person. When I believe the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse them from all sin. And I just ask them like this, who is it that hasn't had some immorality? If nothing else, you say, what about your thoughts? And they speak louder before the throne than the word of God. But they'll put up with false doctrine. People can say just about anything they want to. They can come along and make Brother Branham God. And people will put up with that. But that, to me, Brother Branham said, that is anti-word, anti-Christ. Amen. Brother Branham said that. Amen. Don't do that, he said. That makes me, if you substitute me for Jesus Christ, that makes me anti-Christ. And yet, we'll put up with people saying that. Prove all things. Try all things. Hold fast to that which is good. That's the reason that when I came here, and a couple of them did that in my presence, and Brother Brown's, he said, "Now, Brother Green, that's the reason God sent you here, is because these people are wrong, and so you tell them, and you tell them, and I'm standing like this, and I'm doing my fingers. Tell them, and 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 tell them," and I got to that seventh finger right there. 7 times you told me to tell them. And that's the reason that your pastor, you might say, harps on it all the time. Brother Brown told me to tell them they were wrong. He said, "God sent you to be a pastor to him." I said, "Brother Branham, you're their pastor." He stood, did his shoulder like that, and he said, "I'm not a pastor, I'm a prophet. I'm supposed to go up in those mountains and stomp out there with 'Thus saith the Lord,' and get off the scene. But he sent you here to pastor, and you tell him." And folks, I've tried to be faithful to that. Now, you've had to bear some of the consequences for the commission he gave me to do. I've told them to their face and in private, "You brothers are wrong, because Brother Branham told me you were wrong." And their answer to me, Brother Milton and Harriet, one time was, "Well, Brother Brown told us some things about you too." And I said, "Well, they must have been good." They said, "Why do you say that?" I said, "Because you all hate me so bad. If they was bad, you'd have done told them. They must have been good things he told you about me. Because you won't repeat them. But if it had been bad things, you'd have done told them, because you hate me that bad. But the scripture says, prove that which is good." And I'm going to tell you, I think that there's an antichrist spirit that's prevalent among us. And my church, people I'm responsible for, I want you to be able to recognize it. And I want you to identify it. And I want you to stay away from it. If you get around that spirit, it'll get on you. I've been there, and Brother Brown come up and discerned it in me. 3 times he said that Sunday morning. Somebody said, "There he is, there he is." He come up afterwards and said, "Brother Green, who was that in Psalms 22 that said, 'My God, my God'?" I said, "Well, Brother Brown, you said that was Christ." He said, "Brother Green, sometimes I say things in the first person. It's not me, but it's him." I said, "Brother Brown, did you catch something in my spirit this morning?" He said, "3 times. He said, "Brother Green," he put his hand on my shoulder, said, "Don't you ever forget, I'm a Kentuckian." You know what? I can't forget. Brother Branham was a man. He was a Kentuckian. And if there's anybody can show me where Brother Branham ever said he was Jesus Christ, I want to hear it. He said, "Now, if they're saying that Christ dwells in me," he says, "I pray they're 100% correct. But if they substitute me for Jesus Christ, they make me Antichrist. Now, I know thy works." And see, and they say they're apostles. They say, "Oh, I'm a leader in this message. I got a revelation." And are not. And you know, that's pretty sure. I don't call people liars. Not normally. I may think it. God hears, I can say, that's not true. My mother never would let me call my sister Sammy a liar. Now, I can call her a storyteller. But if I ever told her she's a liar, my mother beat me. So it's just not in my nature to call somebody a liar. But here it says, "And you have found them to be liars." God hates a liar. That just shows, if a person says something that's not true, God don't like that. God just, why do you want to be that way? You think you're going to cover it up from him? It's like I tell you, when you confess your sins, you're not surprising him. He already knows what you did. Why do you want to try to solve it? "Well, Lord, I just made a mistake. I was weak when I did." Just say, "No, Lord, I committed an act of unbelief. I didn't believe your word. I didn't believe you. I didn't trust you. I was not only slack, Lord, I just was full of doubt." And be honest with it. And he says, if we confess it, he's faithful to forgive us. Let's go to Matthew 24:5. Now, this was John saw this. But look, Jesus said this. He said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, 'I am Christ,' and shall deceive many." There's going to be those. Now, we know that anybody comes and says they're Christ like this, and well, we know that's Antichrist. We know that. Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verses 27 through 30. "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." He bought it, not us. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Now, I think Brother Branham knew that too about his own message. But you think about it now. These words are original with Paul. And he was the first church age messenger. And, you know, for somebody to come along and say, now I know, but look, I've taught you this, but I've watched you. And here you are already following some other gospel other than one I've taught you of grace and love and faith. You're trying to depend on your own works. So I know, but after my departing, there's going to be those grievous wolves going to come in. They're going to do this. And Paul warned them about it. And human nature hasn't changed that way. It's still the same. There are people who come in, and I'll show you how to identify them in a minute. And it says, also of your own selves shall men arise. In other words, some of you, men of yourself, some of you shall arise speaking perverse things. And here it is, to draw away disciples after them. When a man tries to create a private following over here. And look, I know things that somebody else don't know. I know things that the church is not. The pastor don't teach this right. This brother over here, I'm different. And you see them all throughout the message. They create a following after themselves. That's the reason when Brother Jerry gets up here and says, I follow Brother Green, is what he is. I just want him to be careful he don't put me too high. Because if he puts me on a pedestal, God will let me fall to get his eyes off of me. And that's any of us. But God never ordained one person rule over another. That's a basic fact. Just like Satan does not heal. So therefore I can say all healing is of God. There's some people don't want to, well, I don't want to pray for the sick. I might be in a false anointed one. If a witch doctor prays for you and you're healed, God healed you. Not the witch doctor, not the devil. If somebody comes along and tells you the future, that's not a witch doctor. That's not the devil. The devil don't know the future till you tell him. Some of them just smarter than you are, and they know what you want to hear. And so that's what they tell you. Some dreamers do that. They can run your lives by dreams. But the Bible tells us and cautions us, be aware of those people. Especially if after they do it, they say, well, look, now God showed me this, now you follow me. And we've got some brothers who they've established things like that, and they've got their circuit. They don't pastor a church where they'll be subject to anybody else preaching. But they'll go to these families, and those families save their tithes, and they'll go around and collect them once or twice a year and do that. And that's how they live and make their money. Now, that to me is an identification of a wrong spirit. If somebody's got something to say and preach, they ought to preach it to a congregation where you're going to be checked or judged with what you're saying. And I tell you people, don't take what I say. You've all got the MP3s at your house. There's tape libraries back there. There's every book that's been printed. You check out what I say to you. If I say it wrong to you, I pray the Holy Spirit will make it right to your ears. I don't want to mislead you people. In no way do I want to be an antichrist spirit. No way. I don't want to have that. Now, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Because he said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Some people know it's wrong, and they still say it because it's enticing to the ear, and they hear it, and they get people to follow them, and they take people unto themselves. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Here they'll come along, and but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there also shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. See, they have an end. There's an end coming. But I'm showing you all these because I want you to know that this is not a new problem in the church. It's been there all the time. Every age, every messenger had to deal with it. Now we go to 2 John, the second book of John, verse 7. And it tells us another way we can identify it. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. That's one of the first things that somebody has to do is to say that Jesus Christ, Jehovah God, has come in the flesh. And I mentioned to you this morning about what a powerful event that must have been when Brother Branham stood there on 14 Mile Creek at 9 pennies flat, there where the ranger's cabin is at Beaver's Hole and Flat Rock, and he heard that voice boom out there, Jesus Christ of the New Testament with Jehovah God of the Old Testament. How many of you believe that? Have you got a revelation of that in your heart? Amen. Jesus Christ of the New Testament was Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Amen. Can you say that? I want you to know Satan don't want that to be. Yes. Antichrist don't want that to be. Now, look at 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 18 through 25. Little children, it is the last time, and as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Now look, how many times and how many writers in the New Testament have mentioned this? They're here now. They're there. There's going to be many more. Deceivers are going to come. This is a spirit. It's not an individual. Like I said to you this morning about, you can go back and read in church history, they preached against Napoleon and called him Antichrist. I know in my time they preached against Mussolini, called him Antichrist. When he died, then they made it Hitler. After Hitler, it was Stalin. Let me tell you what it is. It's anybody who tries to take rulership and leadership over God's chosen people.
Amen.
That's Antichrist. I don't care if it's a pastor, a deacon, an elder, a husband, a wife. Any spirit that'll make you come along and lead somebody else astray, leadership over somebody else and use that authority, that is Antichrist. That's against God's plan and word. Now, thereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from among us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. And how many times have I taught you as your pastor that every one of you need to learn to perceive God and listen to that voice? You hear something sometimes, and that just don't sound right. There's something don't quicken about it. There's a check. You don't need to just say, well, but I don't know, and he says he's got a revelation. You need to check that out with the Word. You need to check it out with what the Bible says, the Scripture says, and what Brother Branham says. And if you find one verse against it, then you need to leave it alone. You won't find anything Brother Branham preached that this Scripture is against. And you shouldn't believe anything that this Bible doesn't back up. You see, you have that unction. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Even his own disciples said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. You're going to the Father. Show us the Father, we know. And he said, if I've been with you so long and you've not known me. See, they didn't even have the revelation yet. But they come along later and wrote about it. He that hath the Son hath life. And the only life there is Zoe. But he who hath the Son hath eternal life. But he that hath not the Son hath not life. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ of the New Testament is Jehovah God of the Old Testament?
Amen.
You see how important it is to understand and not just go along with the Trinity? It is such an easy thing to do because it's the way of least resistance. It's the mainstream. It's the thing that's popular. And right now, the Trinity is more popular than the truth. But the truth is the Lord our God is one. And that great mystery is that he's come in the flesh and is Jesus Christ. And he's alive today. And one of these days, Moses and Elijah is going to reveal that truth to the Jews, and they're going to believe it according to Zechariah, and they're going to separate their own houses, and they're going to weep and pray and repent. And why didn't we see it? And it's because they were blinded so you and I could be grafted in. How much further we got to go? We got to go to 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised. Let there therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. There's life. You have the Son, you have life. You don't have the Son, you have not life. Do not deny that Jesus is the Christ, because if you do, that's a liar. Now, I want to go to 1 John 4:3. I read this at the beginning. It was the third verse of the text we had tonight. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. I wanted to major on that right there. It's already in the world. Since when? How far back can we go with this? Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the first 7 verses. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that a man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now there's another name he's going to be called. Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now this is the Antichrist incarnate. But the Antichrist is here with us already. And anytime anybody manifests themselves and they make you look at them like you won't make it without me. Well, that's taking the place of God. Folks, your salvation doesn't depend on me. Listen at Paul's attitude. After preaching your gospel to you, I keep my body under subjection, lest after declaring it unto you, I myself become a castaway. You never hear Brother Branham brag about, I'm going to be there. You hear him say, I believe I'm going to be there. I trust I'm going to be there. I want to be there. But that was the true humility of Brother Branham that you saw. He never made me feel like he was better than me. In everything he did, even if we took our guns out of the case to shoot him in, he didn't want to be in competition with us. When we played darts, he didn't want to. He could take the darts and stand here at that wall and put them in the bullseye every time. But when he played us, he never won a game. And I challenged him about it. And he said, Brother Green, if there's any pleasure in winning, why not let you have the pleasure? Our character is so short of what I saw manifested in Brother Branham, and it's because I think he had the Spirit of Christ. There was no emulation in his flesh. There was no competition. If somebody else felt like they had something to say or do, he just did, all right, fine, brother, you do that. I went with him down here to Victor Sadu's services one night, and Brother Branham was standing outside the tent, and somebody told Brother Victor that Brother Branham was outside, and Brother Victor Sadu, and he's the man who was one of the French interpreters that was with Paul Henry over here when Brother Branham got that commission, you've chosen the way and everything else. And Brother Branham knew Victor, and Victor was doing some discernment. Brother Branham said, my, look at there, how powerful he is. He said, my, that makes my gift look small. I saw Brother Branham sit up here in Phoenix, and the full gospel businessman get up and do the things, and they'd get up there and say about Brother Branham how much they loved him, and yet they despised him and hated him come in, and he said, I wish they wouldn't do that. But you know, he never got up there and ripped them apart. They were just brothers. Even the brothers who left his church and started other churches, you never one time heard him call them renegades or runoffs or serpent seed. They were always brothers, fellow sister churches. You never heard him take that attitude. Why? Because he had no Antichrist spirit in him. He did not take authority to rule over. Now, you know what? He was put to the test a couple of times. The Holy Spirit warned him of it one night, and that couple was misbehaving themselves, and he asked them not to do it, and he could have spoke fair and killed them both. But he didn't. He looked down and says, I forgive you for that. See, there was no antichrist spirit about that. There was nothing wanting to rule or lord about it. Look down. Look how powerful I am. Those men that came in there, that someone was paralyzed because they didn't walk and everything else. That wasn't Brother Branham's wishes. That was just God just demonstrating his power. When Brother Branham stood there, though, and he said, "Now I take every spirit in here under my control." You know what? I never felt threatened. I felt secure. Wouldn't you like to put yourself in the care of a man who already knew more about the situation than you did, and you'd trust his judgment rather than your own? Because Brother Branham didn't have that antichrist, Nicolaitan, dictator, authoritative spirit. If you serve God because somebody's making you do it, where does God get any glory out of that? God wants it to be because you recognize it's his grace. Now, let no man despise you by any means. That day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, you see, that's the spirit that the Antichrist will have. And any, let's say, tinge of that in your life is an Antichrist spirit. If you are a believer and your companion is an unbeliever, and because you're a believer and they're an unbeliever, you want to rule or reign or dictate, look out. You're trying to make yourself God. You need to let them see God in you. You don't need to tell them who you are. You need to let that person recognize that in your life. Now, I want to go back, since I've showed you that these spirits are in the world. I think I've established that fact. Not only back in the New Testament and in the epistles and in the writings of Paul and the vision of John, but they're in our day. But let's go back and see where this originated. And just four or five more verses here. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15. Now, you're familiar with these verses, but how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which just weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. You see, Satan wanted to be equal with God. He wanted that power and that authority. Verse 14 and 15. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. You see, Satan wanted to be that, but God said, no, you won't be. You'll be brought down. And some of these days you'll be cast into the bottomless pit. Amen. And into the lake of fire. Look at Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 2. Son of man, say unto the prince of Tyre, thus saith the Lord God, because thine heart is lifted up, and thou hast said, I am a God, I sit in the seat of God, in the midst of the seas, yet thou art a man and not God, though thou set thine heart as the heart of God. Look at verse 6. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. Look at verse 9. Wilt thou yet say before him that slayeth thee, I am God, but thou shalt be a man and no God in the hand of him that slayeth thee. You see, there's people that come in, this prince, he come in and said, I'm God, I'll do this, I'll do that. You know, Nebuchadnezzar wanted that way, his followers wanted him to be that way, and Daniel refused to bow down to him. Let's look at Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and a times and the dividing of time. Now look here. Daniel saw that all the way over here in the end of time during the tribulation. Same thing. Look at chapter 11, verse 36 of Daniel. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. See, here it is, that spirit again. Going to take the place of God. That is Antichrist. Anybody. I don't care. In the simplest way that you can. If you ever try to play the part of God in somebody else's life, that's Antichrist. Now, they may see God in you and want to follow that, but when you start exercising that authority, remember, Jesus didn't even do that. If I, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, then let the greatest one among you be the servant of all. You see, you don't see him doing that, stand up saying, you've got to serve me, you've got to be. That's a spirit and an attitude. One more, Revelation chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Same length of time as that one over there in Daniel. Same Antichrist. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them, and power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Going to come a time when he's going to be very powerful to deal with. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The elect cannot be deceived. You will recognize this and you will flee from it. And you have this protection. If any man have an ear, let him hear. And let's conclude this by giving this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 through 6. And I'll show you how important this is. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. How many times do we deal with that among ourselves? We feel like that God shows us something. It's a revelation. We understand something maybe about the seals of the church ages or some typology or something. And the excuse that I've had people give, and I'll never forget the first time I heard this, somebody put it on me. Well, Brother Green, you know, not everybody that calls themselves bride's bride. And I knew what he was saying because the preacher had preached the night before that anybody who didn't believe like he did, they're not bride. So, to me, I looked at that and I said, well, that's when you know they'd rather see somebody lost than saved. They'd rather, well, the Bible talks about they'll travel all over the world to get a convert, and then they bring them back and they make them a twofold child of hell. It's always a strange thing to me that people will be missionaries, they go overseas to win people, but they wouldn't dare witness to their neighbor. Or they won't let us be believers. They won't help us if we're not wrong. They'd rather see us lost than they had saved. They'll speak to strangers, but they won't speak to us. I want you to know, I think that's Antichrist. Something wrong somewhere. They put themselves in a position that they have the right to judge everybody else. And that's the position of acting like you're God. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, well, there it is. He don't know nothing. As he ought to know. Next one. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there's none other God but one. It's like I said this morning. Put that stake right there on that piece of marble. Let there be a gold idol in front of it. Good stake. Unless it offends your neighbor. The idol is nothing at all. The idol is only what you put it or somebody else does. And you know, it's a strange thing to me how people can take something and make it with their hands and they can set it up and they don't want to worship that thing. When they made it themselves. But then there's people that takes a doctrine and they think they get a revelation because it sort of stimulates them and makes them feel important. And they don't realize, but there's a spirit. That's a power and a principality that's so prevalent sometimes around you that they'll worship that before they will the truth and see what God is saying and doing. Now, there's no other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. There is the mystery of God. And I believe that's what Brother Branham was sent to reveal to us. That at the beginning of this, the voice of this seventh angel, the mystery of God should be finished. And folks, there shouldn't be any question about who Jesus is. Not in our hearts and minds. And to come along and try to confuse that and say, well, but that's Brother Branham in the flesh. I'm sorry, Brother Branham said that's Antichrist. And I'm going to tell you this. Don't you believe that. There's one Lord, and that's your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And His Spirit is here, but He's not here in the flesh. Now, Brother Branham may have manifested Him just as you manifest Him. That's what the Holy Ghost does. Shows you the same yesterday and forever. And you never hear Brother Branham say, this is Him, I am Him. He says, this is His Spirit that's allowed me to do this. Not within Himself. And any other spirit is a spirit of Antichrist. May not be exciting, but it's a warning. Prove all things. Keep that which is good. Yes, I do. I personally am not read in church history. I don't know anybody in my lifetime, or anybody on earth today, that God has used in a greater way than He did Brother Branham. But I think what makes it Antichrist is for them to take and put everything in Him and leave nothing for you. I find that to be against the Word of God. I believe that God allowed Brother Branham, our brother that was a sinner, to be an adopted place son of God before us as an example to challenge you and I that we too could be used of God. In a wonderful way. Now, we won't have the revivals that they had, because then there'd be a revival and this thing's going to die out. But you know what? It's still true. And one of these days, I believe she can be healed. You can be healed. You can be saved. And what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight and sing it. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You tonight. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. Heavenly Father, I love You, adore You, I bow down before You. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, I appreciate You.